Good morning. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Nearly 50,000 Utahns work in the IT industry, a sector that grew a whopping 7% this past year. But even as high-tech companies are healthy and hiring, they're finding it harder to find and recruit top tech talent. Today on the program, we're examining the state of Utah's tech sector and the prospects for growth. Joining me on the air is Fred Lampropoulos. He is a founder and chairman and CEO of Merit Medical Systems, a publicly traded company that is forecasting revenue of $400 million this year. He's been in the medical device industry for almost 30 years and holds just about 200 patents on devices used in the diagnostic and therapeutic treatment of cardiovascular disease. He's received the Governor's Medal for Science and Technology. He was inducted into the Utah Business Hall of Fame, and he was recently inducted into the Utah Technology Hall of Fame. And Fred Lampropoulos joins me in studio. Fred, it's great to have you. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Also with us, Richard Nelson. He is president and CEO of the Utah Technology Council, which represents over 5,000 tech companies here in the state. He helped launch USTAR. He has served on the Governor's Economic Development Board, the Utah Fund of Funds Board, and many others. He's been honored with CEO of the Year from Utah's Tech Industry and a Distinguished Service Award from the University of Utah College of Engineering. Richard Nelson, also in studio. Richard, good morning to you.
Thank you. It's terrific to be here.
Coming up later on the show, The Way We Think in Nature, a new psychological study. But first, Utah's Corner on Technology and Innovation. If you work in the IT sector or for a tech startup, what's your theory on why Utah is such a good place for technology companies? And how do you think the state can better support the innovation economy? You can join our conversation. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Fred, I want to start with you. You founded Merit Medical in 1987, this company that develops and manufactures medical devices. You've got plants all over the world, from Texas to Beijing. Why did you decide to base the company here in Utah?
Well, I think, first of all, it was home. And so home is where the heart is. And so I think that was the main reason. But, you know, that being said, you have to really look beyond that and take a look at the base of technology, engineering, the support of the University of Utah and other universities, BYU, the engineering students. And I think maybe the thing that drove us most is there's still this pioneer attitude here, that we can be self-sufficient, we can do things, we can create. And that's what we were able to do. So a lot of it had to do with government, university, and then, of course, this workforce of pioneers.
Hmm. Being in Utah certainly hasn't hurt you. I understand you're looking at a 9% boost in revenues this year. In just the past 30 days, you've acquired Meta Group in Illinois, and you're about to close tomorrow on a major acquisition from GE, Thomas Medical Products. Not bad for a company and its investors.
Yeah, particularly in what is a very difficult environment. You know, healthcare is under a lot of scrutiny. There's folks that are hurting, you know, with the unemployment rate and all the various issues. They all affect healthcare expenses. In addition to that, you know, we've got some major headwinds coming. As part of the Affordable Care Act, medical device companies have to pay a 2.3% receipts tax. That's on the first dollar, and it's regardless of size. So for Merit, that's going to take $10 million off of our earnings next year. That's a lot of money. We'll be able to survive that, and we will continue to build our business. But for smaller companies, many of which are in this valley, some of those companies are going to make pay more in tax than they make. And so although some of the concepts of the Affordable Care Act are very interesting and I think some things that I actually support, this particular part of it I do not. Mm-hmm. And clearly it's going to, and we've seen this across the country where medical device companies have laid off a lot of people, you got to make that money up someplace. So that's the kind of the negative side of the headwinds that we have facing us.
Mm. We're going to get into the policy part of this later in the discussion. Richard, I want to bring you in. Give us the big picture. I mean, certainly not every company, every tech company in Utah has experienced the success of Merit Medical. But, I mean, just how healthy is Utah's tech sector right now?
That's a great question. At our recent Hall of Fame, where we honored Fred and also Josh James, I released a Pulse poll of how healthy the industry is. 103,000 direct employees across three sectors, IT, life science, and clean tech. We asked them a simple question. In terms of revenue, is your company growing? Is it thriving? Is it level in revenues, or is it declining? 16% said that they were thriving. 70% said that they were growing. So that's 86% of our companies in this state that are growing or thriving. I think that's a phenomenal story. 7% were level, and less than 10% were declining in revenues. It really is a very, very healthy industry, and it really, these three industries are the growth engine of the state.
Why do you think the tech sector is so healthy right now?
There's a number of reasons. Fred mentioned the entrepreneurial spirit here. You can't import that. You can't bake that into an economy. That is here, and it gives us a competitive advantage. There's some other things. We're willing to work with each other. We're willing to align and work on hard, complex issues like the governor is currently on education and workforce to better work with this pipeline of talent from K to 20 to better align with the great jobs that are out there. Frankly, we'll get into this, I assume, later, but we literally have thousands of openings in Utah that are very high paying. We're not producing the kind of talent that is needed by industry, and I see my great friend Fred nodding his head. Yes, we definitely need to better connect the dots.
We're speaking with Richard Nelson. He's president and CEO of the Utah Technology Council. Also in studio with us, Fred Lampropoulos, founder, chairman, CEO of Merit Medical Systems. And we're talking about the state of technology, the tech sector here in Utah. If you'd like to join our conversation with questions or comments, 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Richard, give us just a bit of context. When did Utah start to gain a reputation, you know, that reputation as a tech-friendly place? When did it start to get some traction?
You know, back in the 80s, we had some core anchor companies, and they were in the IT sector. And from Novell and WordPerfect and iOmega. And when those companies transitioned to different areas, a lot of their employees did not want to move, and they stayed here. They seeded these other companies. So there was this raw entrepreneurial talent that was here. They wanted to stay here. And then over the last 20 or 30 years, we've built this critical mass. There's been convergence with the great medical device industry especially, and biotech industry. We've got critical mass here now. Just to give you one additional statistic, if you look at the payroll of the state and the number of employees in these sectors is 8.6% of the overall non-agricultural wage that these employees have. But you translate that into the actual payroll, it's 14.3% of the total state payroll is across these three sectors. So it's significant. They pay 57-58% above the average. But we've got critical mass. There's clearly a concentration of rich technology talent here. And now we've got a large number of thriving, growing companies. So it's that doesn't happen in many pockets in the country.
Fred Lampropoulos, I mean, you've seen the tech sector evolve since you've been part of that. What kind of changes have you seen?
Well, first of all, it goes back in terms of its birth, so to speak, with Jim Sorensen and Dale Ballard. These were the pioneers in this valley, and many of the other companies, Utah Medical, Merit, and many of the larger companies like Bard and Edwards, who are here today, are kind of offshoots from these original founding companies, as Rich pointed out. In terms of changing, I think one of the things that we've had to do and part of our success has really been our international focus. And one of the things about Utah is the great language skills. And I think the lack of fear to go into international markets. So the day we opened our doors, we were doing business in Japan. We have 45 or 50 Chinese nationals on the ground who work in regulatory, finance, and sales in Beijing. We have facilities in all over Europe, and in France, in the Netherlands. So I think, I don't know if it's necessarily the change as much it is as an evolution that that we started very early on. And in fact, it's kind of interesting to note that some of our competitors, these are great companies, but their revenues from outside the U.S. might be 10%. Well, Merit's revenues are over 40% and will soon hit 50%. Great thing about that, these are products being built in Utah and being shipped to China, being shipped to Japan, being shipped to Russia. And I find that kind of in, you know, everybody thinks that everything comes in from those places. The fact is we do this, have this tremendous export business that has really been the key to our growth.
Do people, is it widely known that Utah is a tech-friendly place as you go out there? I mean, we hear about Silicon Valley in the Bay Area. We hear about Research Triangle in North Carolina. I've heard, I guess it was Josh James who launched this Silicon Slopes idea of branding this place. I mean, do you think we're succeeding in making a name for Utah as a tech-friendly place beyond our borders?
Yeah, Fred Lampropoulos? You know, yeah, I do. And I think part of that is because of a business-friendly environment. It really comes from the governor's office. I think Gary has done a terrific job of selling the state. If we take a look at our research and development tax credits, if we take a look at energy costs, I mean, you look across the board, and I've said this, and I mean it sincerely, if I had to start a business up in any place in America, it would be in Utah. It's as simple as that, and it's one of the reasons why we've just added 275,000 square feet of new facilities in South Jordan is because this is really a very, very good place to do business. Mm.
Richard?
Utah clearly has been recognized across the country with the third recognition by Forbes magazine. Last week, we were recognized again as the number one state in the country for business and careers. But that wasn't the first time. We were also recognized the two prior years. I don't know if there's a state in the country that has that kind of a track record. You look at the keynote that we brought in for our Hall of Fame celebration a couple of weeks ago. Clearly, Utah matters. Clearly, Utah's on the map. Clearly, from a governor and a legislature that is friendly to business, clearly our congressional delegation gives us that kind of visibility, especially when our senior senator, Senator Hatch, plays such a significant role in innovation in this country. In fact, it's been stated by the head of BIO, which is a significant organization, Jim Greenwood, that there's no one that has played a more significant role over the past decade than Orrin Hatch in this country in advancing innovation. Mm. So there are a lot of things that come together. And we're very fortunate. We really should be celebrating this spectacular place that we live and work.
We have painted a very rosy picture. We're going to get to some of the chinks in the armor in a little bit, but we need to take a break. We're talking about Utah high-tech companies and how the state can foster the innovation economy with Richard Nelson. He's president and CEO of the Utah Technology Council. Also with us, Fred Lampropoulos, founder, chairman, and CEO of Merit Medical Systems. And if you'd like to join our conversation, if you've got experience in the tech sector, why do you think more companies are eyeing this state? 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. This is City Views on KCPW, Salt Lake City. Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier Pierce, and this is City Views. Drive south on I-15, and you can't miss the sort of cryptic help-wanted billboards for Domo and other high-tech companies, or the massive new Adobe campus in Lehi. From algae energy researchers to genetics labs to video game designers to software developers, Utah is home to hundreds of technology-based companies, and the sector is expected to expand. Today on the program, we're talking about Utah's growing reputation as a friendly place for IT and technology companies, and just how can the state keep up the momentum. Joining us to talk about it, Fred Lampropoulos, founder and chairman and CEO of Merit Medical Systems. Also with us, Richard Nelson, president and CEO of the Utah Technology Council. And if you'd like to join our conversation, why do you think Utah's tech sector is growing, and what do you think can be done to better support startups in the state? You can join us. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Part of helping technology companies succeed is that startup cash, the seed capital. Fred Lampropoulos, I'm curious, how hard was it for Merit Medical to get its start, to get the funding?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny that you say that. It was non-existent. We couldn't get any money. You know, no one believed that you could start a business with a syringe. And so we funded out of our own pocket. We then raised a couple of $1 million with angel investors. And then we went public and we raised $2.4 million. So that's a total of about $5 million to start this business. And the only time that we've been back to that equity well, essentially, was we raised $93 million about a year and a half ago, and almost everything else we just funded really from operations. So I would have to say it's kind of the old-fashioned way, but in many ways it was to our advantage in that we didn't have to have an exit strategy. We didn't have the VC and the private equity guys kind of down our throats, and we could build our business. And so I think although these other organizations that raise capital are very important, there's two sides to that stick when you pick it up.
I guess the stuff, the legends that are out there, you know, small-time entrepreneurs tinkering in their garages, finding out a product, you know, charging up everything on a credit card, and finally getting a lucky break. Richard, how common are those stories here in Utah? And what is the investing environment like for tech companies, as you mentioned, angel investors and venture capitalists?
You know, 11 years ago, our industry took a hard look at what the needs, the most pressing needs of the industry were at the time. And overwhelmingly at the time, it was we were a flyover zone. There wasn't, capital just was not available. This is early stage capital. And so we started to build a relationship with our top policymakers in the state. And during the 2003 session, we advanced and passed a $100 million fund of funds. And the reason we were so committed to do that is because unless you've got capital, you can't find talent. You can't attract talent. And if you don't have talent, you can't attract capital. So it was just and that's the way it is all throughout this country, except for a few pockets of that have talent and capital. So in the 2003 session, we passed a $100 million fund of funds. That's now been increased to $300 million. It has fundamentally changed the capital structure of the state. Is the state's capital structure ideal? No. We can always use more. It can always be more efficient. The angel networks can certainly be more efficient. But at least we are a serious place that those that have capital. Over 200 firms have pursued the Utah Fund of Funds. These are venture and private equity firms. About 28 of them have been funded. And to date, the taxpayer has paid nothing, has invested nothing. We continue to work with the original $300 million worth of tax credits. And so it's that relationship with 104 legislators and the governor that trusted us in the industry to address a very, very difficult challenge. Mm.
Earlier in the conversation, we talked about a shortage of talent, how difficult it is to find qualified engineers and researchers or recruiting them here. I mean, what's going on? Are we not educating enough homegrown engineers? Is it too hard to recruit people to live in Utah? What is going on? Richard, why don't you take a first step?
Those are great questions. This state, again, was ahead of almost all other states. When 12 years ago, we went to the then Governor Leavitt, And we started an engineering initiative. This was, and he ran on this in his third campaign, to double and triple the number of engineering graduates. And that has been ongoing for a number of years. It stopped about 2 years ago. And last year, because of the huge shortage of engineering talent and software developers and all those others, technicians that support those four-year degrees and master's and PhDs, again, we literally have thousands of open positions in the state right now. It's not unusual for me on a certain given day to hear of a company that's got 25 openings or 50 or 100 or well over 100 openings. Now, that's surprising to most, but some way we need to get that word out, and it needs to go out to the counselors, the 2,000 to 3,000 counselors that are in the middle schools and high schools. It needs to go to those students. It needs to go to the 50% of the college students that are just stuck, that aren't finding jobs when they graduate. Frankly, Fred has, I'm sure, jobs right now that he can't fill. And that's just one great, great example.
Fred, you're on the front lines.
Yeah.
Why is this?
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree with Rich, and I think that the state has done a nice job. I love walking down the hallways and talking to my engineers from the University of Utah, from BYU, and stirring it up a bit between the two parties. It's not just football. It's in business as well.
Good to hear.
But the other side of the coin is I think the state has missed a big opportunity, and that is several years ago, we kind of went away from the trades in favor of a more, I'll call it a liberal education and that sort of thing. And the difficulty I'm having is finding people with those skill sets. So we're talking about technicians. We're talking about machinists. I have to bring those people in from Michigan. I have to bring in from Ohio. In our business, in the defense industry, in the aerospace industry, you know, Boeing is here and others, there's an acute shortage of those who have those types of skill sets. And those jobs pay, kind of start at 50 and go up to well over $100,000 for people with those skill sets. So one of the things I've tried to push, and very candidly have not had much success, is trying to get some of our folks to listen, saying, look, these are the people I need. I don't want to bring them from out of state. And if we're going to prosper, we need to have that source, as well as the engineering initiatives from the universities, you know, whether it be Weber, Utah State, and the U, and BYU. This technical part, this part that's somewhat under the radar, is necessary. And I think it's one of the things that will enhance future growth, but it has not received a lot of attention. I've been barking for years about this, and I'm going to start barking a little louder, maybe even take a bite or two. So.
How easy is it to recruit from Michigan and from Wisconsin and other places, bringing people here? Is it easier just to move your plant there?
You know, again, we were going back to the comments that you made about Utah being business friendly. And again, when you take a look at the business and take a look at local taxes and energy costs and all, transportation is something that is absolutely essential. And we have this great transportation system, not only our freeways and the rail systems, but I'm talking about things like Delta, kind of go anywhere in the world with one stop maximum. But to go to these other places where you're talking about 10%, where you're talking about these costs, it's almost prohibitive. We actually had a plant in California that we moved to Utah about 5 years ago, and I'm thankful that we did that. And we look at those places. So I think the only thing that gets in the way is there's still this stigma of Utah, that somehow it's this, you know, this place where there's a whole bunch of Mormons and nobody else and this and that. You know, I'm a Mormon. I think once people come here and say, you know, we're just regular guys, gals, just living our lives, and then you can show that we have the arts. So I think there's a lot of other parts that come into the symphony, the arts, the basketball team, those ski slopes, the film festival. I think all of these things add into what allows us to have this reputation. So I think it's been changing. It's not totally, and it seems like everybody that moves from out of state wants to move to Park City. I want to move to Park City, but I can't get to work soon enough. So I think we're getting better. I think there's a better understanding. I think we've become a little more sensitive to the needs of other people. That's not one point of view, that we need to be a little bit more open. I think we've evolved, and I think we've done a pretty good job. And I believe that Utah will continue to be the premier place if we start to think about some of these other skill sets and be reminded that not everybody has to go to the university or everybody's going to graduate, but there's a whole bunch of other folks out there that can support families, can start startup businesses if they have other skill sets. And I don't want to forget about those folks. Mm. They're very important.
I mean, from a policy point of view, what can be done about some of those cultural perceptions? Is it the liquor law adjustment? Is it non-discrimination laws? What would make Utah's reputation more welcoming? Richard Nelson.
Yeah, from a non-policy standpoint, our board took this issue on of why Utah? Why were we having such a difficult time attracting talent from other states and around the world? Those of us that are here, whether you're part of the local culture or not, realize truly what a spectacular place it is. But if our K through 20 system is not producing enough talent, we've got to go outside and we've got to bring talent in. And there are some misconceptions. That's why our boards 2 years ago had a BHAG, Great Big Hairy Audacious Goal, and we created two viral videos. They're still on our website. One is Things Just Happen in Utah. The more valuable one to address this tougher issue is misconceptions of Mormonism. And it hit head-on issues such as polygamy and liquor, tough issues that sometimes we don't address directly. Is it really the image of the state, or is it really the image of the LDS Church? I think the LDS Church is so worldwide and puts their energies there that sometimes they don't realize some of the challenges that are created, not intentionally. So we've shared these two videos with the senior leadership of the LDS Church at the Council of the 12 level. We're having dialogue with those that are very diverse. I don't know what very diverse means, but diverse that are not part of the local culture and members of the 12. And there's
How
a really
received?
Interesting dialogue and a very respectful one, and we expect to have some positive things come out of that.
Interesting. We're speaking with Richard Nelson. He's president and CEO of the Utah Technology Council. Also with us, Fred Lampropoulos, chairman and CEO of Merit Medical Systems. We're talking about Utah's tech sector and the possibilities for the future. And if you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number. I guess the bigger question, should the state give special attention to the tech sector? You mentioned that it's a very vibrant and crucial part of our economic scene. But make the argument for us. Why should technology be set apart from other industries and other kinds of businesses, like setting up a restaurant or a potato chip manufacturer? You know what I mean, Richard Nelson?
With 14.3% of the total payroll in the state in these three sectors, it also happens to be the most exportable product that we have. The only category that exceeds that is gold, is the minerals industry. But truly, this is a scalable, exportable product like Fred's highlighted. That's why we're putting such an emphasis with World Trade Center Utah as a one-stop shop to help our companies grow and expand internationally. We are in a unique position to do that.
Fred, I mean, is running a tech company fundamentally different than running a restaurant or another kind of enterprise?
You know, just because I'm a Greek, I have a lot of affinity, of course, for running restaurants and the food industry. My family, that's how we kind of got here. You know, at the end of the day, I think it comes down to leadership in businesses, and whether you're running a restaurant, running a radio station, or running a medical device company, you have to have people that want to be there, that share your vision. So fundamentally, aside from public policy issues, it all comes down to leadership. And, is that leader willing to give them their all? Is he going to put his employees ahead of himself? And those are the things that I think make the difference in a successful business. I can't tell you how many times that someone said, I would have stayed there, I would have done this, but we had this guy that was, looking out for themselves and not for the employees. So I think that becomes a critical issue, is leadership. And we haven't discussed a lot of that. We've talked about technology today. But, one of these first days, we'd be delighted to come down, both as an infantry officer, a person who has built businesses and had this opportunity, and many others with these great skills. Leadership is something, whether it be at the state level, at the council level, at the business level, is absolutely essential. In fact, the most, I think, essential item of all is that ability to inspire and lead. And without that, I don't care how good your idea is.
Where does Merit Medical go from here? Again, you're closing on this huge deal tomorrow with Thomas Medical Products. What does 2013 look like for you and the larger tech sector here in Utah?
You know, we're doing better than most medical device companies, and I think a lot of that has to do with innovation. The 10 to 15 new products that we'll internally develop next year. The Thomas Medical acquisition brings in some new technologies at our same call point. That'll be great. I think that, you know, we have not forecasted for next year, but we're going to be in the upper single digits, maybe the low double digits. And when you look at the economy and look at our peer companies, there's not very many people who can match that. So I think the next goal is $1 billion. We should approach close to $500 million next year. And the next stop is $1 billion. But the real goal is, where do we go from here? Is when my generation passes to the next generation, I want to have a company here in Utah. Why not another Baxter, another Bard, another Johnson & Johnson? And I think that's what I'm trying to do, is to make sure that there's something left for everybody else to follow.
Hmm. Our time is very short, but I want to squeeze in a call from Bruce calling. Oh, I guess he's gone. Bruce's comment is, living in Salt Lake City, he is in the tech industry. His beef is air quality. So what is the tech industry doing about that? Fred Lampropoulos.
Yeah, I'm glad. What a great question, Bruce, and thank you. You know, we have a new facility, 275,000 square feet, that will be opening up in January. It's, and I think, I hope I get this right, but it's a LEEDS qualified, I think it's either silver or platinum, and only one of two manufacturing facilities in the United States with that type of certification. So as business people, we're not thinking about how to hurt, we're thinking how to help. And so I think from at least our point of view, this is important, but there's something that's driving this, and that is cost for us. And also, many of our customers are demanding this, tell us what you're doing in these areas that that we can be confident that you're not just out there, you know, throwing stuff up in the air and just it's all about profit. I think for us that these kind of innovations and these ideas will ultimately lead to profit because, I mean, we're doing what's right for the community and for air standards and for everything else. Mm. So if you drive by Merit, you don't see any stuff going into the atmosphere. You see a very clean and a very green environment out there.
And that's good for business. Yep. Richard, I guess I have to give you the last word. What are the priorities of the industry, tech sector, going into 2013 and beyond?
Yeah, since we focus on three areas, talent shortage, funding, and how do we grow these 5,000-plus companies, STEM should be a national and a statewide acronym that we all know and we all are advancing. That's science, technology, and engineering, and math. That's where the opportunities are. That's where the huge needs are. And too many of us don't realize that. So by taking additional math and science, you just you increase your chances of a great future, whether at the technician level or at the degree level. So STEM is a huge issue. Seed funding, there's a big gap for very, very early seed funding. You'll see us pursue this, maybe even in the upcoming legislative session. But it's been a privilege to be here with Fred. He truly is the example of a phenomenal CEO that cares deeply about Utah and continues to grow lots of jobs here.
Thank you, Rich.
Well, you've both got work to do, so I will let you go. Fred Lampropoulos, founder, chairman, and CEO of Merit Medical Systems. Great to have you here. Thanks so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And Richard Nelson, president and CEO of the Utah Technology Council. Richard, thanks for your time as well.
It's been great to be here.
Coming up next, the upside of trading in your laptop for a hike outside. But first, a break. This is City Views on KCPW Salt Lake City.